Well, good morning. We're doing a quick battery change back there. And if it dies in the middle, it's all good, right? I'll just speak a little louder. So, hey, welcome to Harbor. So glad you're here today. Can you believe it's the last Sunday of summer? Did it go really fast for you as well? How many of you are fall people? You are really excited. Sweater weather, right? Some crunchy leaves to step through. And how about pumpkin spice? Who are my pumpkin spice people, right? So my daughter, Katie, is our pumpkin spice girl. And when the end of August comes, she is really excited because she knows something that you might not know. I'm going to give you some little insider Dunkin' Donuts information. So if you go up to a Dunkin' Donuts and you want a flavor before it's available, you just have to confidently say to them, which she does at the end of every August, I would like a pumpkin spice coffee. And they'll make you one. But if you say, do you have pumpkin spice coffee yet? And it's not on the menu, they'll say, nope. So now you know. If there's a flavor that you like and it's not quite the season, just confidently ask them. So that's what she does every August, and it brings her great joy to have her first pumpkin spice coffee. And if I haven't met you yet, my name is Kelly, and I'm the interim executive director. I'm also the children's pastor and on the teaching team, so that's quite a lot of things. And as I've stepped into this role, God has been so good. I have a wonderful husband, Fred, and three amazing daughters, and they've each taken on a piece to help me be able to do all these things that I'm doing right now. So my oldest daughter, Elizabeth, is in college. She's a finance and economics major. So she sort of helped me with the executive pastor things. And my youngest daughter, Emily, is a big fan of Pinterest. Anyone out here Pinterest fan? So she finds me delicious dinners, and then she makes them. So that's pretty great. And then my daughter, Katie, loves a clean kitchen. So I come home every day, and it is scrubbed clean. Everything's put away. So when I was out this summer, I found this great towel, and I don't know if you can see it. It's for her to hang in our kitchen. It says, I love you more than pumpkin spiced anything. So as she's cleaning, she can see the pumpkin spice, and she knows how thankful I am for you. And you know, that's what I want you to remember as you leave today, right? God loves you more than pumpkin spice anything. He loves you more than you can even imagine. And that's why we come together, right? We want to remind each other of this truth. And we want to be people who love deeply. Now, if you were here last week, you know, we're in the middle of a three-part series around the mission and vision of Harbor. You know, we exist as a church to help people find their way back to God. It's been our same mission since we were planted. And on top of that, we don't want to just find our way back to God. We want to become people who live fully and love deeply and give freely. Because the local church is the hope of the world. We are plan A, and there's no plan B. We're his hands and feet. We're the ones bringing good news. And you know, John did such a great job last week. Isn't it beautiful to have a worship pastor who sits at the feet of God and he gives him a song for the message this week? I love that. That was just this week that John had that song given to him. But he reminded us last week, church is not just about us. We, with the power of the Holy Spirit in us, can become people who live fully and love deeply and give freely. And when we do, that's attractional. People around us begin to say, what is it about you? And you can say, it's Jesus. Let me bring you to my church. Let me help you find your way back to God. And so as we are people who live fully and love deeply and give freely, we help people find their way back to God. And they become people who live fully and love deeply and give freely. And they bring people back to God. And that is how the kingdom of God advances. And we get to be a part of that. And so when John spoke last week, he used a verse out of Galatians that I love, Galatians 5, 22 and 23, and it says that the power of the Holy Spirit in us, the Holy Spirit produces love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. This is what we look like when the Holy Spirit is in our lives. And so this week we're going to look at that first word, when the Holy Spirit produces love. We're able to love deeply. And in his power, that is how it occurs. So next week, we're going to look at what it means to give freely with joy. Another amazing thing that happens in the power of the Holy Spirit. And you know, this whole series, last week, this week, and next week, are all out of the book of Acts. And if you've never read it before, my encouragement to you, before the fall is over, read through the book of Acts. It is a fast-paced, action-filled version for us to understand the stories of the people who were there. It begins with Jesus. And then how the church grew. And so if you haven't read it before, we'd love for you to read it. Maybe you don't have a Bible. We would love to give you one. The back of our worship area has some blue books. Those are our Bibles. The book of Acts is in the last third. You have Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. And I just encourage you to read it. So that's where these three messages come from. And last week, John showed us that the reason we love deeply is because God first loved us. John 3:16 is one of those verses many of us have memorized. And in it, it says that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes will not perish, but have everlasting life. Living fully and loving deeply and giving freely is something Jesus cared so much about. So how do we help people find their way back to God so that we can all live fully and love deeply and give freely? Well, we do that through the power of the Holy Spirit, and we become attractional. We're like the aroma of Christ, right? Like the pumpkin spice latte you smell when you walk into a Dunkin's or a Starbucks. John 3:16 is followed by an even more beautiful, in my opinion, verse. It says that God did not come to condemn the world. He came to save it. Like he came because he created each person that you love and that I love who seems so far from God. He came so that they would know his great love. That's what the world was created to be, a family full of spiritual brothers and sisters. We were never intended to be alone. We were created by a God who loves us so much, and we were created to be part of what we call the church. And another phrase for church, what? A beautiful mess. Right? You're with people who sometimes are hard to be with, just like your own family. But when we're able to love deeply with people who are different from us, people around us are going to notice that. And they're going to ask about it. And we're going to have the opportunity to share the gospel. And the more people who come to Christ, there'll be more love and more peace and more generosity in the world. And so as we started to look at some of the passages today, I found something that really has impacted my life just in this past week. It said that in order for scripture to become part of our soul, we need to be looking at it more than once. So that's why we're encouraging you to grab one of those journals out there. Maybe read in advance what we're going to be preaching on. Then come and hear the message. Write some notes. Spend some time during the week in prayer. Go back and look at how God has been answering you and how he's been so faithful to you. And so as you're doing that, you might think, well, what version? Well, we use the New Living Translation, but a version I love is called The Message. And I love that today you can just pull out your phone and the Bible is there. And so that might be a version that you find a little bit easier to look through the book of Acts. But whatever it is, before the season of winter begins, try to ask God for his help to just spend some time reading through that. Grab a journal, take some notes, and know that Jesus has given us as a church a really strong mission statement. It's found in Matthew chapter 22, verse 37. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. So today we're going to look at, how do we do that? How do we love deeply? Last week when John was in the book of Acts, he ended in Acts chapter 2, verse 41, and we're going to pick up right there, Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And the believers form a community, a church. And all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, into sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and in prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miracles and signs and wonders, and all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. That's amazing, isn't it? Wow. They came together, shared everything they had. When I was thinking about that, I thought of back about 20, I've been a mom for 21 years, and I thought back to when my oldest daughter had her last Christmas. Her sister was going to be born in January, and even though she had presents all around her, she didn't want any of the gifts. She wanted Christmas to be over so January would come and her new baby sister would be here. And I think if I could go back in time and say, Elizabeth, do you want to share these presents with your sister forever? She'd say, yeah, I really want to. But then her sister really came, right? And things change when we're in tight relationship with one another. And we're going to talk about that next week because sharing is hard. Sharing is really hard. But that's what I thought of when I thought of this young church. They were so excited at the awesomeness of Jesus who had risen and paid for their sin. And they came together and they shared everything in Acts chapter 2. And they focused on what was most important, the word of God, what we call communion. It's what we practice every week, a moment to remember what Jesus has done for us. And they prayed. I love that we're a community who prays. If you haven't joined us yet, Tuesday nights, one room over, we're getting together and we are praying together as a community, and God is moving because it's important for us as a community to be praying together. And so the church was beautiful, just like the church is beautiful right now, but it's also hard and it's also messy. And so 4 short chapters later, things change. Between Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 6, complaining has entered the building. And so we're going to look at Acts chapter 6, verse 1. In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. And if we're honest, this still happens, doesn't it? In your own family and in our messy family we call the church, mistakes happen. You know, over the last year at Harbor, we've gone through a lot of change. And in that time, mistakes have really happened that have hurt people. And I want to apologize right here and say how very sorry we are. If you ever put in a connection card and someone didn't respond to you, or you were trying to connect with somebody and it seemed like they were too busy for you, we take very seriously the care of each other. And even though mistakes have happened going forward, it's something we really want to do better. So if you've ever taken the moment to write a connection card and no one connected with you, would you try one more time today? And I promise someone will get back to you. Because that's what happens when we're in a messy place. Mistakes happen and we have to forgive each other. And so in the book of Acts chapter 6, mistakes were starting to happen. This group of widows felt that they were being overlooked. And they started to do what happens in life, whether it's in our family or our workplace or church. It started to be us in them. And the book of Philippians tells us we have to fight for unity. And so the book of Acts chapter 2, it's one. We're sharing everything. We're together. And then slowly by Acts chapter 6, we're starting to become us in them. So in verse 2, we see what they did. The 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait tables, in order to care for these needs that people were having. So they came up with a plan. Verse 3, brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and full of wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them, and we will give our attention to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And so one of the roles I've stepped into is I now am part of the compassionate care team. And the beauty of God is he knows in advance what's going to happen. So the foundation of the compassionate care team at Harbor Hope is Acts chapter 6. And I didn't know that. And as we met this Tuesday and we talked about how do we invite people from our community to love deeply, they began to share that this is the verse that they founded on. Because in Acts chapter 6 and today, some of us have been given this gift. We are able to love deeply. And so maybe you've been thinking for a while that you'd like to use that gift. And we want to invite you following service out into our cafe. We have a way for you to go out into our city this week and next weekend. You might go to Living Water. Some of you have been there before. Might go to Wish Project, my father's house. There's plenty of opportunities for us to go and share with our local partners. But we also want to care well for our community. There are people who need meals. We want to be able to provide them. They might need a ride, and you'd be willing to do that. So just stop over and say hello to them. We just want to highlight the fact that we are all called to be God's hands and feet and to love deeply. And so in verse 5, it said that the proposal pleased the whole group, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. And they picked 6 more people, including Philip and Nicholas from Antioch, and they present them in verse 6 to the apostles, who prayed for them and laid their hands on them. And that's what happens today. When we are people filled with faith and the Holy Spirit, we go out and do what God has asked us to do. And you know, simple things change the world. As I look out, I see some of you who are part of our compassionate care team, and I know that you were created in such a beautiful way to care so well for others. And one of the simple things people do on our care team is they send cards. And they write such beautiful cards that sometimes we get a thank you note back for that card that somebody sent when someone had a season of pain. And I'm so thankful that people here continue to say, God, you've gifted me for one reason, for your glory, and I'm going to use your gifts in your kingdom and this family I call Harbor. And when we look at verse 7, it says, the word of God spread. As people were using their gifts, the word of God spread. And the number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly. And a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. I can't tell you how many times I've read Acts, but I never noticed that until I started to prepare for this message. The priests, the people who knew the word of God, but yet were missing what it was that God intended them to understand, that they had been created to be known and to be loved. They understood it when they saw it lived out, and they became obedient to the faith. They began to do what we're doing. They're living fully and loving deeply and giving freely. And as John said last week, we have to get this part right. To be able to love freely, we have to know who we are. I am a loved child of God. You are a loved child of God. And so to believe truth, often music helps speak it to our soul, doesn't it? And so I've heard this before. If you find a song, maybe it's the one John wrote, maybe it's All the Poor and Powerless, listen to it over and over again until you believe it. And there's a Christian song out there that speaks to me. And when I become busy and my life seems crazy and hectic and I stop feeling like I just am loved and I have to do more, and I listen to this song, or God just whispers the words back into my heart because it's a song I know. And the simple line that she sings says, I am loved. And that will just play in my heart, and it will calm me and remind me of the truth. And it's the truth for you today. It's why we gather together. We're not called to try harder. We're called to rest in the love of our Heavenly Father, who says to me and says to you, I am loved. Because the try harder solution doesn't work, because it's not truth. When my girls were little, I was at a different church, and I was a Sunday school teacher, and it was almost Christmas time, and I had three little kids, and I was tired. But there was a mom there, and her daughter, who was part of the program, had cancer. And I just wanted to love my children better and be thankful and grateful that they were here with me. But do you know what happened every time I tried harder? I failed. I became grumpier and shorter. We can't do this on our own. It comes from the strength of God alone. And so that's why it's important for us to believe Colossians 3:12. It tells us who we are. We are God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. Look at it with me one more time and believe it. You are God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. So how do we learn to love deeply? When I came to Harbor, I knew this was something that God was going to need to work on in my life. It wasn't something that came easy to me, to love deeply. And some of you sit here today and it's the same thing. Life has been hard. And when we look at verse 3, it says, brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. Loving deeply happens when we are full of the Spirit and full of the wisdom that comes from God. So I don't know if you know this, but even though we're non-denominational, we're part of what's called the independent Christian churches. So up in New Hampshire, there's Manchester Christian Church. In New Hampshire, Nashua, there's Crossway Christian Church, Harbor of Hope Christian Church, and down in Quincy with our friend Jeff Oaks, Restore Christian Church. And so once a quarter, these Christian churches get together and have lunch. So I saw Jeff, and he sends his love to all of you. And while we were there, we had a speaker there talking about what love is. And see, love has these two parts to it. There's grace and there's truth. And if we are people who just live in grace, that's where I like to live. Anybody else like to live there? Grace without truth is what? Lying, right? You don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. Everything's fine. That's where naturally I tend to be. And then there are others of us over here, and we like truth. And it's okay if we injure people because it's the truth, right? And the beauty is we have this example of Jesus who lived in the tension. The next time you hold a rubber band, think about the tension that we need when we are being people who love deeply. We have to have grace and truth. And Jesus himself was the only perfect person who could do that. Because when we have truth without grace, we injure people. We hurt them. We can empty them. Maybe you've had this in your life. Someone spoke a word and it might not even be true. It might just be cruel. And it affected you for years. But others of us, right, we're kind of enablers, right? We're like feeling the pain that other people should feel because we love grace. But Jesus is calling us to walk this very hard path. Grace and truth is love, this tension. And it's his power in us that allows us to love deeply, to love with grace and truth. And so what do you think happened between Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 6? That these widows, these women who had no other way to care for themselves, started to feel left out. See, I think it's what happens just when we spend time together. From far away, especially on social media, right? People are so beautiful. They're all perfect. You ever look around church and everyone else is all perfect? They all were great, but then they had to start spending time together. And when that happens, what do we start to think? Well, maybe I just want to be alone, right? People are hard and people are messy. And we stop loving deeply. And as I started to prepare for today, I had to think, God, why is it that I struggle with loving deeply? And I want to just present to you 3 words that all begin with the letter F. And I want us to know that these do not define us. How many of you enjoyed getting a paperback with a big, nice red letter F on it, right? No, this is not truth, but this is what we allow to speak over our lives, and it keeps us from loving deeply. And the first one is fear. Like some of you, my childhood was hard. My dad was an alcoholic and he was unkind. And there were many nights I was very, very afraid in my own home. But as a teenager, God spoke a word into my life from the book of Timothy, 2 Timothy. God does not give us a spirit of fear. He gives us love and power and a sound mind. And I began to believe that. And I knew when that spirit of fear came, this is not from God. So some of you today are sitting here and you know the reason that you struggle with loving deeply is you've been wounded. Someone has hurt you. Maybe someone promised to be with you forever and they left. Or a friend who you trusted turned their back on you or worse, hurt you. And in fear, we decide, you know what? I'm never going to feel that pain again. And you guard your heart. And it keeps you from being able to love deeply. But know this today. God did not give you a spirit of fear. He gives you love and power and a sound mind. Yet at the same time, loving deeply is very different from being abused, right? Those of us who struggle to be on this side with grace, we can become enablers pretty easily. And we can love deeply and have good, strong boundaries. And if you don't know how to do that yet, then I'm encouraging you, starting with our next Journey Group season, one room over in the common room, first service at 9:30. So if you have children, you can just put them in Sunday school. Maybe you need to learn what healthy boundaries are. A really easy way to think about it is when you have an unhealthy boundary, you're feeling someone else's pain and they're not feeling it. And so God wants us to be people who love deeply, and it involves grace and truth. You know, there's another reason some of us sit here today and we're not able to love deeply, and that's because we have a false identity. Somewhere in your life, someone spoke something and you believed it, and it's not at all what Jesus would say of you. See, it's amazing to me every time I have an opportunity to bring the word of God to you, because if you knew me at 13, 14, 16, 18, you would never believe that God would be able to use me. I had no confidence at all in who I am or who God thought I was. But the power of the Holy Spirit in me, and he's given me his wisdom, has allowed me to speak truth over people. Don't believe the lies that people have spoken over you. I know that if you are in relationship right now with somebody who struggles with being emotionally healthy and they are texting you all the time, you have one thing you need to do. Delete it. Do not keep listening to lies over and over again. Listen to truth. Come to church. Join a group. Let people speak truth over you. Find a song that speaks truth and listen to it until you believe it, because we need to understand that we are who Christ says we are. And then finally, I know some of you are sitting here today, and if there's one word to describe you, it is tired, right? You have given all you have emotionally, physically, spiritually, and you're tired. And fatigue has now overwhelmed you. And it's been a part of your life for so long, you don't even remember what it's like to be full of life. See, being a children's pastor for a long time is so beautiful, right? Jesus had called the children together because they just love him in this really simple way. And if I were to go back right now to the kindergartners and ask them, what brings you joy? What do you love to do? They could all tell me. And I know some of us sit here today and it's been so long since there was joy in our life. We don't even remember what food we enjoy, what we like to do, what brings us peace. And so that is why this promise, command from God for us to be people who rest, to honor the Sabbath. It matters. Our souls need to rest. And so if you've never done that before, I know it's hard to say, you know what, starting on Friday every week, I'm going to come home, and as soon as work's done, I'm going to put a candle on, and I'm going to have some quiet and some peace, and then I'm going to go to sleep. Because for many of us, the first thing we need for our fatigue to go away is rest. We're actually really, really tired. And so the next day, our Sabbath day, we sit and we think of how we can be with Jesus, how we can restore joy, and our souls will begin to rest. And when our souls are full, then we're able to love deeply out of truth, right? Last week, John said, when we're doing it in our own strength, we're just pretending. And pretending can be something that just takes the life away from us. But rest and the gift of God, of the Holy Spirit and of wisdom, can return our joy, and we can become people who love deeply. And I know this to be true. Without rest, you cannot be effective. You cannot do what God created you to do in advance before you were even born. He knew what part of the kingdom you had. And you cannot do it if you are tired, if your soul is drained. So as I said, each week we have this special time of communion. During that quiet time today, my encouragement to you is to ask God, where is it that he would like you to begin to grow? How can you love deeply? Is it because a spirit of fear is keeping you from being who it is that God says you are? Has someone's wrong word over you created a false identity, and you need to hear from God today that he sent Jesus, his only son, to die for you because he loves you so much? Or are you so full of exhaustion? Has fatigue now taken over your life and you need to say, God, help me to obey this command to rest? So as we read scripture, we see examples of what people like you and me do with the power of God in them, right? That's Stephen, full of the Spirit, full of wisdom. And Stephen lived a long time ago, but today in our midst are still examples of what it means to be people who live in the presence of God. And two of my favorite preachers are Andy Stanley and Dr. Charles Stanley, his dad. I live about 30 minutes away, and so I have a commute each day, and I listen to podcasts. I love podcasts. And one of my very favorite communicators is Andy Stanley, and he shared the story of how he and his dad, these two men of God who were used in mighty, mighty ways in our generation to reach people and bring them back to Jesus, had a big falling out several years ago. And they didn't do what most of us would do if we were in a really big disagreement with somebody. Most of us would just not communicate with them anymore. It would just make life easier. But they did something that inspires me and continues to help me to be in relationship with people that are hard to be in. They decided that they were going to fight for unity. And so Andy says that once a week, they would commit to meeting together and to talking. And here are these two men of God. And he said, a lot of those nights ended with the two of them in Andy's driveway yelling at each other. These two pastors, and they just had to fight to get back to unity. But they did it. And they continue to fight. And that's what I look to as someone that I want to reflect. I want to be someone who continues to fight for unity. And I'm sure today, even though they have made up and they're both continuing to be used by God, there are still things they disagree on. And church, we have to be aware that that's always going to be true. When we're together, the messy family that we are, there's always going to be things that we don't agree on. But as a church, we agree on this thing. We are here to help people find their way back to God. That's why we exist. And we're going to fight to continue to do that and to do it well. And when we do it, when people find their way back to God and become people who are healthy, they're living fully, they're loving deeply, they're giving freely, other people will notice. And when they notice, they might ask you, why is it that you do that? And then you're given the opportunity to share the gospel, the good news. And maybe you're here today, someone's invited you to the basement of a mill and you've never ever heard this good news before. But you walked in and you thought, there's something different here. There's peace. There's joy. And I want you to know that this Jesus that I'm talking about, he came for you. He came for me. Because the things we think and say and do that are different than what God wants us to think and say and do are called sin, and it separated us from God. But Jesus, in his great love, he died. And he had a very, very painful death on the cross. But the good news is he didn't stay there, did he? 3 days later, he rose and he sent the Holy Spirit to fill us with his power to go and be his hands and his feet. And the good news is there is nothing that you have ever done or said that will keep you separate from God. That's what I love about scripture. The book of Romans chapter 8 is going to remind us of this. The book of Romans follows those gospels in the last third of the Bible. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We have Acts that we're reading through now. And then one more book is Romans. And in Romans chapter 8, we see words that are so important. I want them to be on the screen and I want you to hear them while I say them to you. Because we see God's word so clearly. And if this word speaks to you and helps you see the truth is that Jesus loves you. He came to become Lord of your life. And he wants you to live an abundant life. That's what living fully, loving deeply, and giving freely is. It's a life that's full of abundance. And if you have a question about that, I am sorry if you've ever filled out a card and no one returned a response to you, but fill one out today. And someone will respond to you. Or come up front and talk to John or I. Mike's here, Don's here. We'd love to talk to you about Jesus. But let's look at Romans chapter 8, verse 1. This is so important. John has been speaking on this with our friend Peter, right? There's no shame in Jesus. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. You belong to him. And if loving deeply is hard for you, welcome to the family, right? We're a messy family and we find this hard. But the good news is Romans chapter 8 continues with verse 2. The power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death when we allow Jesus to be the Lord of our life and we give access to the Holy Spirit. God gives us his wisdom and his strength and his power. Verse 6. So letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. Don't let things that are not true control your mind. Let the truth of God control your mind. The power of the Holy Spirit can give us his wisdom. And a life filled with wisdom looks differently, doesn't it? A life where we live fully, where we love deeply, where there's peace. Looking at verse 14, all of you are led by the Spirit of God and you're children of God. You've not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you've received God's Spirit when he adopted you as your own, as his own children. Now we call him Abba, Father, that word that a baby makes at the beginning. If any of you are on Facebook, become John Emery's friend. He's awesome. But he had the cutest little video this week. Did any of you see it? Where he was trying to feed his little guy, Avi, and he's like, say Dada, and I'll feed you. And Avi looks at him and smiles and says, Dada. That's Abba, right? That's that love that a baby has for their dad. And we're no longer slaves. We are free. We are adopted. I have a friend right now in China, and she's been waiting for her little girl, Piper. And she and her husband love her. They have chosen her. And when she comes home, she is fully theirs. And that is what it means to know that God has adopted you. He chose you. He chose me with a great love. So do not leave here today without knowing this great truth. God has promised to be your loving father, and you can call him Abba. And a good and loving father, he says, what all fathers would want to do for us if they're good and loving. His promise is he will help us. Look at Romans 8, verse 26. The Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. Call out to him. Cry out to him. Lord, help me. Give me wisdom. Give me strength. Because church, we are only able to love deeply because God first loved us. And he loves us more than we could ever understand. There is nothing you can say or think or do that would separate you from that. So I'm going to ask you to look at verses 38 and 39 with me. We're going to read them out loud. And then I want you to go home this week and I want you to print it out, read it out until you believe it. There is nothing that can separate us from the love of God. Will you read with me? And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the power of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that's revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Isn't that such good news? Nothing separates us from God's love. When we believe that, when we know that we are loved, we love deeply because loved people are able to love one another. So maybe you'd like to take a moment today and stop over at one of the tables and learn about maybe taking a first step of faith of loving someone else, whether it's serving, whether it's writing a card, maybe it's walking alongside somebody, giving a ride, making a meal. But Harbor, I want us to be a community that loves well. That's what's going to be attractional. We're going to be the pumpkin spice latte of New England. People are going to want to know this Jesus that we love so much. So let's take some time during our communion moments and ask God, would you remind me, Jesus, of your amazing love for me so that I can continue to be a person who loves deeply? Will you pray with me? Lord God, it's an honor to stand here and think about how 17 years ago you planted in the hearts of people a desire to go into the greater Lowell community and be people who help others find their way back to you. And some of us sit here today and we're a benefit. We have benefited from that. Someone invited us to meet you. Someone invited us here and we've been loved deeply and we're able to now love deeply. And Lord, we recognize that we are unable to do this in our own strength. We don't want to pretend. We want to be full of your Spirit and full of wisdom to be your hands and your feet and to help other people find their way back to you. So Lord, we thank you that we can ask and you are a good father and you love to care for us. Fill us with your Spirit and with your wisdom. And we ask this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.